Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Tuesday. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast, and I am grateful for all of you that are listening to this broadcast, and may the Lord bless you and keep you far and near, no matter who you are listening to the broadcast. Thank God for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, the phone line will be open at all times. I do my best in the Lord to answer that question. If you have a comment, I ask that you would keep it brief. Amen. And glory be to God. And, you know, we don't want to be contentious on here, but, you know, I just ask that you be, just keep it brief. And if any of you have a question, you say, hey, I don't want to do this over there, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So we are grateful today for another blessed day and opportunity. And wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we are grateful for this day you've made and created, and how, Lord God, you have blessed us this day to assemble again in your name. And Father, we dare not make this journey once again in your word without you. So our request that comes before you this day is that your spirit would accompany us on this journey. And we want to thank you for doing this, because you have told us in the word to make our requests known unto you with thanksgiving. So therefore, you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you will be in the midst. So therefore, we know you are here to make good on your word. So Lord God, we thank you and we give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on another new part of the series. Overall, we're still talking about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to open up from reading once again from one of the messages of the Lord Jesus Christ that he sent through his angelic messenger, his heavenly being. In Jesus' name, amen, because I am commissioned of the Lord to let you all know about this and to let you choose. This message was sent out November the 3rd, 1966. It is referred to as the 84th message, meaning the 84th time that the Lord sent this angelic being. And I want to read one of these verses once again from what this angelic being said in the message that he had delivered from the Lord, what he is telling us that Jesus told him to tell us. And I ask that you will listen real closely to this. I gave you the date when this message was sent out, because I'm not trying to hide anything. And the Lord don't want me to act in such a way like I am hiding something. I want you to ask the Lord Jesus, is this true? And Jesus, overall, Jesus wants you to ask him, is this true? Now, here's one of the things that he said in his message. And he told us what the Lord told him to tell us. And he says, oh, I would that mankind would hear my words today, as delivered by my angel, and humble themselves. Now, we have been looking at in other series concerning this work of the Lord Jesus Christ and concerning him sending an angelic being, and we looked at it in a past series that I did called Jesus Communicating to Mankind Through Angelic Visitation. And for those of you that are first-time listeners, I want to point you back to that. After you listen to this tonight, I started on this series of series that God had put in my spirit to tell once again. I have done something on this 4 years ago, but the Lord gave me to do it again, and he let me know that he can give me more light, which he have. I mean, he have dealt with me more on this thing than, you know, 4 years ago. And so this angel says that the Lord told him to tell us that he would, that mankind, and we know mankind covers male and female. It covers black, white, Chinese, if you're green, anything. It covers classes. You know, you got the high class, the middle class, the low class, okay? All of that. No discrimination, okay, whatsoever. And the Lord said he would that mankind would hear his words as delivered by his angel. So this new series tonight we're talking about is titled Jesus Angel, a Resurrected Being. Now we're talking, and it's revised, we want concerning this angel. And the question is, who is this angel? Now, we know from the Bible that when the Bible talks about the angels of the Lord, there are some names given. Now, every time you read angel of the Lord, this or that, there was not always a name given. But in specific places concerning certain angels, we were given names. Okay, so we know that the angels do have names. For example, the archangel named Michael, and then there's the angel, a messenger angel named Gabriel, okay, who came to Zacharias, the earthly father of John, okay? Michael being spoken of in Daniel and in Revelation, one of the archangels of the Lord. So we do know that angels do have names. Now, in every scripture, let's say from the Bible, that speaks about angels, you're not given the name of this angel every time. I can see in one sense that the word is showing us that it's not, quote, important at that time. Okay. So this angel that says that he's bringing the word from the Lord, from God, who is this angel? Does this angel give us his name in any of the messages? Now, you know, I've told you from the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of the series, amen, going back to, you know, one of the series I told you that Jesus communicating to mankind through angelic visitation. Now, I told you that this angelic being have been coming with thus far 120 messages. The first 30 to a brother named Brother Otto Fetty, and thus far, the last 90 thus far, it's not over with, to a brother named Brother W.A. Draves. The angel first started coming in 1927, all the way thus far to 1994. So that's a span of 67 years that he has appeared 120 times. So, in any of these messages, do the angel tell us who he is? Or does God authorize this angel to tell us who he is? That's putting it more better. Because when you see the angels of the Lord in the Bible appear to man, they come at the appointment time of the Lord. And they speak what they're authorized by God to speak. So there's no doubt in my mind that some angels that visit man and didn't give their name more or less was not authorized to tell it, okay? Which would mean that it may not have been as important to the thing at hand. So we want to know and see by this particular angelic being, was he authorized by God? Because, you know, he tells us in the messages that he's the angel of the Lord. That means he's sent of the Lord. So So was he authorized of God to tell us who he is? Okay. Let's look at that a little bit further. Okay. Let's go. I'm going to read from another message where he does tell us who he is. Okay. Showing that he was authorized by God to do so. Okay. Because we got to remember, angels of the Lord, once again, come at the appointed time of the Lord. They don't come when me or you holler and say, hey, I want you to show up right now. Or I want you to come right now. They're not on our beck and call. They're at the appointed time of the Lord. So in another message, which is called 101 Message, sent out March 11, 1983, I want to read to you what this angelic being said concerning himself and then telling us who his name is, okay? This is what he said. He says, I am the resurrected John the Baptist. I am the Elijah to come. I am he that Christ spoke of, and I come to do his will. Did you hear that? So this angelic being said that he is the resurrected John the Baptist. I know some of y'all listening, hearing that, and you go, oh my goodness, a dead man. Oh, you're telling us that a dead man is bringing a message from the Lord. Well, I want you to pay attention to what he said. He said, I am the resurrected John the Baptist. He didn't just say, I am John the Baptist, per se, and left it at that. He said, I am the resurrected John the Baptist. You get that? What does resurrected mean? Well, according to Webster, it means raised from the dead. Okay? Raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, among believers, there has been a talk about that subject. You know, for example, when you read in the Bible that people died and then they was raised from the dead, the same body where their body was not changed per se, the same fleshly type body, then there are believers that say that that is not a resurrection. That is plainly a raising from the dead. They said that when one is raised from the dead and the body is changed and made a spiritual body, then it's referred to as a resurrection. Now, sometimes I refer to when someone, let's say, dies and they are brought back again into their body, their spirit and soul reunited with their body, because remember, at total death, what happens? The spirit and soul departs from the body, okay? So in a raising of the dead, the spirit and soul is back into the body, okay? And with a resurrection, it's the same thing. It's reunited with the body. Now, you may hear me use the terms in that. I mentioned mortal resurrection or immortal resurrection, okay, which is about the same. Because I call it, when I mention a mortal resurrection, that means a person has been raised from the dead, but they got the same fleshly body. There's no change. In other words, that same fleshly body is subject to this time dimension. That means it can get old again. It can die again, okay? Immortal resurrection is where you raised from the dead to immortality. You're not confined to this time frame and you can't die again, okay? I just want to make that clear. Now, this angel who says that he's a resurrected being has to be telling us that he's a resurrected being with a heavenly body and not his same fleshly type body or physical or earthly body, I put it that way, that he had before. Now you say, well, why would you say he's saying that? Because number one, remember this date, March 11, 1983. Now John the Baptist was killed over 2,000 years ago. Okay. Now no one in this time frame, in this flesh, is going to be living 2,000 years. We celebrate when we hear somebody get 100 years old, okay? That's a milestone for us. So this flesh is not this regular physical earthly body cannot live forever. So this angelic being saying that he's the resurrected John the Baptist, he is saying that he's been raised from the dead, his spirit and soul reunited with his body, but his body been changed to immortality. It is a heavenly body. Okay? Let's look at that, show you what I mean. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read some verses from here to show you what I mean. Okay? Amen. Because for us to understand it, we got to understand one of the things that take place in a resurrection, or if you want to call it immortal resurrection, okay, you want to see what happens in an immortal resurrection, what happened, what takes place, okay? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 37. Now, look what the Word of God said. It says, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance a wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and that's a heavenly body, and bodies terrestrial, okay, which is earthly. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the star, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Do you hear that? That's in the resurrection. When we're sown as a natural body, means it's buried. When it's raised, it's a spiritual body. You get that? A heavenly body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Do you hear that? So in a resurrection, it is sown a natural body. That's burial. But it is raised up, what? A spiritual body. That means that's a change. It's not the same type of body per se. It is changed. It is a spiritual body. Okay? Just like the Bible said, we would not, you know, in that 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, he said we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. That sleep means die, but we shall be changed. That flesh is going to change into a spiritual body, a heavenly body. Do you get that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So this angelic being saying that he's the resurrected John the Baptist, saying that he has a heavenly body, he had a natural body, it was sown and raised to what? A spiritual body. You get that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's what he's saying, because for the simple fact is, as I told you before, that this is the year 1983 he bringing this message. He was killed over 2,000 years ago. Therefore, he couldn't be talking about, you know, quote, what I said was a mortal resurrection, or as some believers would refer to it as a simple raising from the dead to that same old natural body. It couldn't be, because the natural body, you have not, in fact, in the Bible, who is the oldest man that I think of maybe was Adam. Adam lived 900 some years. I got to check up on it. I haven't read of anyone in the flesh living 1,000 or 2,000 years. Okay. And like I said, we celebrate a milestone for people when they reach 100 years old, when they go, say, oh, so 100. What? I mean, they make news. You know, what was it, back here some months ago, a guy was 100 and something. I forgot his age, but he was over 100, okay? So we you know, celebrate a milestone here. Somebody's 100 years old, amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, having looked at that and understand that, hey, he has to be talking about that he was raised from the dead, his spirit and soul reunited with his body, but his body is a spiritual body now, okay? It's been changed. It's a spiritual body. He's been raised a spiritual body. It was sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body, okay? That's what happened in the resurrection. Now, thank you, Jesus. Now we're going to look at more. How is this so? Does this angel who said that he is the resurrected John the Baptist tell how is this so? Well, he does. And I'm going to read from another one of the messages what he says concerning that. And this message was sent out July 15, 1972. And it is referred to as the 91st message, being the 91st time that the Lord sent his angelic being, okay? And I want to read to you a couple of things he said in his message that he was authorized. I want to stress that to you. Authorized to tell us in connection with how is this so, okay? Because many of you that read the Bible, what did you last read about John? He was beheaded. He was killed, okay? And you are saying now you're reading a message that's saying that this angel that's bringing the message from Jesus is John the Baptist resurrected, having a heavenly body. How is that so? Well, I want to read to you a couple of things he said in his 91st message. And he says, I am your fellow servant, and my name is John. I am resurrected. I was resurrected when Christ arose from the tomb. I am the Elijah, the messenger of the Lord. I am his forerunner. I have come in the past. I have spoken his will, and I shall come in the future. I come at his appointing. My message is one of love to those that heed and obey it. Okay? Then he goes on to say, I am now. Okay? Not later. I am now. Not going to be. Okay? I am now a resurrected being in and with the Redeemer of the Lord. I am body, flesh, and bone. I bear the Spirit of the Lord. I speak his words. It is Christ's words that shall judge all men. Therefore, he cannot use man filled with selfishness of his own way. Therefore, come out of the ways of sin and self. Now, do you hear that? He said, this is how it's so. Now, the angel who had told us that he is John the Baptist resurrected, one of the things he said, he is resurrected, and he is body, flesh, and bone. Now, we will see in Luke chapter 24 that goes to what Jesus said about himself after his resurrection. So let's go to that, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord of all Shanta. Glory. Luke chapter 24. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read verse 33 to verse 39. Luke chapter 24, verse 33 to verse 39. And the word of God says, "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and have appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit." Okay. "And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit have not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." Do you hear that? So what this angelic being is saying goes in line with what Jesus said concerning when he was at his resurrection. Because, you know, the for example, the Jehovah's Witness teaches that Jesus was raised as a spirit creature, that he didn't have no body, no physical body per se. Okay? Amen. Glory to God. That's what they teach. That's what they tell people. Okay? Jesus was raised as a spirit creature. No, he had a body when he rose. And it's flesh and bones. It didn't say nothing about blood. See, the regular blood is in that natural body. Okay? So when that body is raised and changed, there's no blood in that body. Amen? Now, remember, for those of you who have been listening to these different series I did, remember, I did a part called How Can I Know If the Message Is True? And remember, I told you one of the steps you can use, it doesn't agree with what's already written. Okay? And I told you, one come to you appear to be as an angel, if what they say is contradicting already what's written, then you can counsel it. That being didn't come from God, okay? I'm telling you, it didn't come from God. So this angelic being said that he is resurrected, he is body, flesh, and bone. So that goes in line with what Jesus said after he was resurrected. He said, because the spirit have not flesh and bone. Now, if this angelic being that tells us that he is John the Baptist would have said, I am body, flesh, blood, and bone, then we know there's a problem, okay? Amen. Then we know that, hey, no, you couldn't have came from the Lord. Amen. See, like I said, the steps that we can use is very important in checking to see whether something's from God. Very important, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I remember, and I testified this before, some of you may have heard it. Some of you first-time listeners may not have. But however, I told you one time we was at a church gathering assembly, and this particular brother got up, and whenever he appeared to be, quote, prophesying, you know, he stand up. Sometimes, you know, where I can describe, sometimes it looked like his lips about to tremble, and then he holds his hand up and appeared to be speaking prophetically. And so during that assembly time, one day we was in service, and this particular brother ended up happening with him. So he stood up, then that hand went up, and I'm looking, and I'm like, okay, he appeared to be prophesying. And then the words that he spoke concerning this angelic being, John the Baptist, that he was sent, and he said that he is flesh, blood, and bone. Now, when he said that, now he's supposed to be appearing to be speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost now. Well, I had just at one time at that point start to do a lot of meditating and memorizing scriptures from the Word of God. And especially with this message that I read to you here where the angelic being said that he is flesh, body, flesh, and bone. He didn't say nothing about no blood. And so when this brother said that, put blood in there, And I remember I didn't say nothing to anybody, but I was just sitting there thinking, I said, now, wait a minute. The scripture didn't say that. It didn't say blood. You know, I was just sitting there pondering on it. So after he got finished speaking, and then I don't know what else we did, but we dismissed and had lunch break. And I still hadn't said nothing to anybody. That just weighed on my mind. I said, you know, I said, thinking to myself, I said, that didn't say that in the scripture. It didn't say nothing about in being a resurrected being, you body, flesh, blood, and bone, you know. And so I was sitting down there, and we was eating lunch, and one of the other brothers come and sat at the table, and God just confirmed me what I was thinking about, what was in my heart, that it was true what I was thinking, because the first thing this brother said out of his mouth was, you know, we got to be careful when people appear to be prophesying because certain things be said that doesn't go with scripture. Now, it's interesting. That's the first thing come out of his mouth to us. We were sitting at the table, and he said it. And he mentioned that. He said, the Lord didn't say blood. And I said, you know what, brother? That came to me, too. I said that to say this. You know, you don't have to run with everything people tell you. Listen, you ain't got to run with what I'm telling you. But remember the steps. And for those of you first-time listeners, you can go back and listen to it. It's in the series part that is called How Can I Know If These Messages Are From God? And I went through 7 steps you can apply to tell whether something from God or not. So you want to do that. You want to measure to see if something is from God, okay? Amen. And so with this angelic being said that he is body, flesh, and bone, that goes right in line with what Jesus said here in Luke chapter 24. Amen. Glory to God. Now, let's go on. Now, in the message I read to you, and I'm going to read it again, this one of these verses again, the angelic being said, I am now a resurrected being in and with the redeemed of the Lord. With the redeemed of the Lord. So he says that he is in and with the redeemed of the Lord. He's a resurrected being in and with the redeemed of the Lord. So who is the redeemed of the Lord that he's talking about? Who is he talking about? Well, let's go to a verse in the Bible here. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 49 and look at one aspect it's talking about and letting us know who is this redeemed of the Lord that this angelic being is talking about that he is resurrected with, okay? See, this angelic being said he, once again, he said what? I rose when Christ rose from the tomb. I am resurrected in and with the redeemed of the Lord. So I was resurrected with the redeemed of the Lord, okay? Amen. Now, glory to God. Psalms chapter 49, verse 15. Now look what the word says. Psalms 49, verse 15. It says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. So this redeem, when this angelic being said that I am a resurrected being in and with the redeemed of the Lord, the redeemed of the Lord, okay, are they whose soul has been redeemed from the power of the grave. Hallelujah. In fact, in this 15th verse, in this 49th chapter of Psalms, he said, but God will redeem my soul. The word redeem in the Hebrew means to sever, that is ransom, generally to release or preserve. So those who was preserved or released from the grave is the ones that this angelic being who tells us he's the resurrected John the Baptist was resurrected with. You get that? You get that? Those who were from excuse me, from the power of the grave, okay? Well, what is the grave, okay? Well, this word grave in this verse here, the Hebrew word is Sheol. And Sheol also means Hades or the world of the dead. Okay? Now, when you look at grave, like many of us who, let's say, would think literally, when you see the word grave, you think of a place where dead bodies is buried at, and that's true. But when you look at grave, you can look at it in a natural and a spiritual sense, okay? Now, you say, well, what do you mean, Brother Nate? Well, the literal grave, natural grave, holds the what? The physical bodies. Spiritual grave, like I told you, the Hebrew word Sheol, meaning what? The world of the dead. Hades, the world of the dead. Okay? That's what the place, Sheol was the place where the spirits of men were. Okay? The spirits of man. Glory to God. You get that? Well, let me explain this a little bit more as we, let's look at scripture on this. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, which will show us this a little bit further. Luke chapter 16. And I'm going to start reading at verse 19 in Luke chapter 16. Glory to God. Like I said, God is just dealing with me the more, you know, on more scriptures to bring to you. Okay. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to verse 26. And look what the word of God says. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared or lived in luxury every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into the Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he, now who is the he? The rich man is the he. He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Okay? Glory to God. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. Now I'm going to stop there. Now, this is what I was explaining to you about the spiritual part, grave, which in the Hebrew referred to as Sheol. Now, notice here in this verse here that when both the beggar and rich man died, they both went to a place. But notice that the place they went to, one was tormented and one was comforted. Okay? And there was a gulf that divided them. So they couldn't go and commute, get in contact with one another, touch one another, come on, because that gulf divided. Now, that part, Hades, or we know really overall hell, because hell is a place of torment. Hell is not a place of rest. You know, like some people think that, you know, they gonna get to hell and have a party, or, you know, or walk around and not do nothing, or won't suffer anything. Well, that's far from the truth, people. Because this rich man, he let you know he was tormented in these flames. He was tormented, and he wanted some relief. Okay. The beggar was on the other side of that gulf in what is called Abraham's bosom. You will see to here referred to as Abraham's bosom. This is Sheol part here where there was no torment. Okay. Now notice that Abraham was there because Jesus said here that the rich man saw Abraham. Now Abraham was known as one of God's men from the Old Testament. You said, well, what are you saying? Well, looking back at Psalms 49 and 15, where it says that God has redeemed my soul from the power of the grave. Well, what is he talking about? Well, he's talking about day that was what? Old Testament saints. Okay? So when this angelic being I read to you about, who tell us he's a resurrected John the Baptist, when he says that I was resurrected in and with the redeemer of the Lord, the redeemer of the Lord he's talking about was the Old Testament saints. Okay? The Old Testament saints. The ones whose soul was delivered from the power of the grave. Okay? Their soul was delivered from it. Their body even was delivered from the literal grave. Okay? Hallelujah. Their soul delivered from the grave or the world of the dead, who was in that part of Sheol where there was no torment, awaiting for Christ. Okay? Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know that there are some people who claim to be believers who teach that man is like a dog. When he die, he dead. That's it. Oh, yeah. There's some people that claim to be a God that teaches that. Now, you said, where did they get some stuff like that? The Bible doesn't support nothing like that. That's true. See, this is one of the problems that has been happening with us in Christianity. There's some things that we're preaching and teaching that has gotten away from Scripture. Amen. Because, for example, in many of these churches, they do some stuff. There's something they do that is away from Scripture. And they will honor it more than the Word of God. And if you turn around and violate it, you're going to find out that they honor it more than they do the Word of God. Yeah. Many of these churches, they highly hold up their, quote, church bylaws. I mean, this thing, like I said, they put it over God's word. Because many of these church bylaws was not made with the word of God in mind. It was made to please the church, where they felt like, oh, this will be suitable for us. This will work. Okay? And gotten away from the word of truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Honorable Shaka, glory. Thank you, all of us, Shaka. Glory to the name of the Lord. People, he's worthy to be praised and to be glorified. He's worthy to be lifted up. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And see, like I said, the Lord had been dealing with me about going back into this. That's why, once again, it is titled Jesus, Angel, a Resurrected Being, Revised. Okay? And like I said, God had let me know back here a few weeks ago to go back into it because he said, I can give you more light than you had. The the last time you did it, which was 4 years ago. Okay. Now, some of you don't think or may think that this is not important, but it is. Because you're going to find a place of this work. You're going to find a place of why Jesus sent in this angelic being. You're going to find a place of all this. You know, at one time, when I, let's say, first came into the work and all that, I really didn't see the place of this work. But now, for the last past, I say, 10 to 15 years, maybe a little over 15 years, I've been gradually seeing the place that this work is going to be needed, where this place the work going to take. And I'm more seeing that this thing has to be. There ain't no option that, well, it don't have to be, everything be able to spread. No, this thing has to be. It has to happen. This work has to be be done. It has to be executed. It has to be, because we're seeing the place, at least those who have been praying to the Lord, seeing the place of this work and what the Lord really is looking to do and bringing a people together, okay? You get that? A people that will flow together in righteousness. Amen. Because Christianity, in many aspects, is just being talked about. Just being talked about. And one of the things being talked about is how we ain't together. That's true. We ain't. There's no full and complete unity among the most part in dealing with Christianity. And you got people thinking that this don't mean nothing. I'm seeing the days right now of testing. And I'm seeing where that the enemy is going to use these separation of boundaries we in to cause us to turn against one another. I mean, for the most part, it's already happening already. Amen. It's already happening. And I don't know, for some reason, we just think that God is okay with it. He ain't got no problem with it. He's all right. Well, he's not, people. He's not. Now, I'm going to stop it there tonight, because I'm going to go with part two tomorrow of this. Amen. And glory to God. I just, you know, thank God for, you know, this opportunity to present this word to you all. Okay? And you have the opportunity, golden opportunity, to ask the Lord about it. And so you can ask him at any time. No, God is not on a schedule where you call and he tell you, oh, this is the wrong time, call me back. You can ask him at any time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God for the word of truth. Amen. Very, very important. This work of the Lord. And like I said, I personally had to know for myself whether this work was true, and God witnessed to me, okay, and let me know, because I had to be honest with you. If I did not get a strong and convincing witness from the Lord about this work and him showing me in his word that this work is true, stuff that I've seen it happen, even, listen, churches everywhere got trouble going on. I mean, we got trouble in church, Christ-alizing message, you name it. Okay? And from the things I've seen in the church that I belong to, if I never had that convincing witness from the Holy Ghost, and God showing me and revealing to me that this work is true, I would have been gone. I ain't gonna tell you no story. I'd have been saying, man, forget this. Okay? This ain't no God. And I've been, I'm gone. I'm out of here. But see, God showed me and revealed to me that this work is true. See, that's where the difference came in at. I don't care if the church split into 1,000 splits or if everybody said, hey, we just going to stop believing this work and go on, just go this. They can, but not me. Because God has revealed to me this work is true. And I want to stay faithful to this work. It kind of reminds me a little bit like, and I give this analogy, like some of y'all may have heard, I like sports. And I like watching baseball, football, basketball. Well, to make a long story short, I was born in Chicago. And when we moved here to Mississippi, one of the things that did not change about me that's still with me today, you know, if somebody asked me, say, well, what kind of pro teams you like? And I just sum it up for them. If you want to know the type of pro teams I like, all of them are Chicago teams. I have never rooted for no other teams because that's just with me, you know. It just with me. Well, that's how it is with this work. But this is a greater witness because, like I said, from the things that I've seen in the church that I belong to, if I wouldn't have had this convincing witness by the Lord and him showing me in his word that this is true, yeah, I would have been and said, man, forget this. But since he have shown me that and given me witness in my spirit, I'm here. I'm here. Okay? I'm here to uphold this message, this work of the Lord, and to let all know that this work is true. Point blank. And being the commissioner of the Lord to tell you all and to let you choose. That's what I'm doing. And like I said, I testified before that I told the Lord one time, you start showing me more about this work, I'm going to tell it. And God let me go to my first test quickly. Because I know God was like, okay, we'll see. Okay. Now, I know that all of you is not going to hear this. All of you is not going to receive it. I know everybody that come across this is not going to listen to this. Okay. But I do believe some of them are. Because there will be no way for God to tell us to tell the people if there were not going to be some that would listen. That would be doing something in vain. Now, do he know that everybody's not going to listen? Sure he do. But there are people out there that are going to hear this, okay? There are people out there going to hear this. And you're going to see the hand of God move, you know, as God begin to bring forth his people for his glory. Okay? Bring forth his people for his glory. Glory to God. Amen. You're going to see it. You'll see it come to pass because there are going to be some things about some people who have been confessing Jesus and talking about Jesus, this and that. You start seeing some truth here. You're going to start seeing that some people didn't crack up to be what, you know, like, you know, didn't live up to what they, you know, quote, proclaim out their mouth. It was just a smokescreen or an illusion. And glory to God. So thank God for the blessed word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you once again that you have blessed this day in your word. And Father, I am so grateful for such opportunity as this that you have given to me to give your message. I pray that those who have been listening will take what they heard back to you and then that they will hear your voice and receive your answer. So, Lord God, I just thank you and I praise you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for the blessed word of the Lord. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget, tomorrow night. Coming back with part two. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word of Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.